And prayer, amen. Amen. Dear Lord, we just thank you this morning, dear God, for all things, Heavenly Father. We just pray this morning that your Holy Spirit be with us, dear Lord. That anointing be upon us this morning, that whatever words come out, dear Lord, it's you that speaks, dear God. And I just pray that you give me the wisdom, the understanding, dear Lord, that you open up our ears and our hearts to know, dear Lord, what it is that you have for us this morning. We thank you for everything that you give us, dear Lord, and we thank you for Ricardo. In Jesus' name, everyone says, amen. 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 Well, last week and the week before that, we were talking about Exodus chapter 14. And everybody kind of knows the story, right, on chapter 14. But everybody seems or focuses a lot, even myself, on the one part. And it's the part where they get to the Red Sea, right, and God parts the Red Sea in half, right? And that's the story that everybody focuses on. Well, when I was doing this teaching, when I was looking up everything, my focus went on everything just prior to that, including, you know, parting the Red Sea. But the main focus was everything just prior to that. Okay, because a lot of times we kind of start reading through the Bible and we want to get to the end, and we kind of skip some verses and everything because we just want to know how he did it and what he did and everything, how he parted the Red Sea. And that's a great miracle, and that's a great part of the story, but it's not the whole story. I mean, a lot of things happen in between, okay? Can't just go from A to Z, right? A lot of people try, and they fail. I've tried to do that. Go A to Z, you just can't do that, okay? You have to go everything in between, okay? You got to read, everybody heard the phrase, you got to read in between the lines? Well, you got to read all the lines. When you're reading God's word, read all the lines, amen? So anyway, so we left off here because I want to get this done, because if not, I'll be here next week again. So we just, job security, amen, right? Amen. Well, we left off here. It says, on verse 13, it says, when Moses answered the people, do not be afraid, stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring to you today. The Egyptians you see today, well, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you need only to be still. Now, this part right here, later on, we're going to get back to that. And I caught that, actually yesterday, I was kind of going through my notes, and I was kind of going over my notes in the teaching, and it brought me back to this part right here. Later on, you'll see where that comes in. Again, you know, and it's just amazing when we get into God's word and you start reading the scriptures and you start reading a story or, you know, an event or what God says or did with somebody. And then later on, you start reading another chapter, another verse or something like that. And it makes reference to something that you read earlier. And we'll see that here. But anyways, this part of the story event, okay, is great. And the reason why is because something great is about to happen. But prior to that, a lot of great things were happening. God was doing a lot of great things, and the people were still complaining. Who does that? We all do. We all feel guilty of that, right? Who said not me? She turned quick. I didn't say that. Amen. But anyways, it's a story where, you know, the people were set free, okay? And they're traveling, and they're trying to get to a place that God had promised them, okay? They're on their way. And at the last minute, Pharaoh let them go. He changed his mind, then goes after them. Okay, and when he was going after them, okay, they find themselves where they felt trapped. It seemed that they were trapped. Now, a lot of times in our walk, a lot of times for us, it seems that we're trapped, that we have no way out. And a lot of that is because sometimes we let our guard down and we forget who fights for us and who really is protecting us. Okay? We tend to kind of rely on ourselves. I got this. I can do this. You know what? We don't say it, but sometimes, like, I'm greater than God. I mean, he's busy. You know, God's busy right now. I know he's got a lot of things going on. You know, so I'll take care of this one. I'll, you know, God, I got it. Take a break. I know you're busy. I got this one. All right? We've all done that. It says, when God speaks to us, we need to listen and do what he says. Luke 11:28 says, he replied, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. It's not just hearing it, say, I got it, and walk out of church, say, okay, I'm good for the week. Sometimes we need to take note of what it was that was said. You know, when Pastor Don or Pastor John are preaching up there or anybody else preaching up there, okay, it's not just another day. It's not just, okay, yeah, you know, well, you know, he preached, okay, it sounded good. You know, a lot of times, and I had written something down, and there's a difference between hearing and listening. Because a lot of times when I'm up here, or anybody's up here giving a teaching, we can hear the music downstairs, but I don't actually don't listen to it. I can hear that something's being played, but I'm not listening to it. And I know that sometimes guys, us that are married or about to get married, the guys that are about to get married, listen up. A lot of times our spouses, our wives, or others will say those famous words, did you hear what I said? Right? Did you hear what I said? Ladies, a lot of times we hear that you said something. But a lot of times we didn't listen. And guys, that's when we get in trouble. Right? That's when we get in trouble because we need to listen to what they are saying, not just hear what they're saying. Yes, it does. It does. It does. It does. But in the sense of staying alive today and having all the women on a good point, I'll keep it there. Okay. Verse 15 says this, then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. He says, why are you crying to me? And it says, tell the Israelites to move on. God gave them instructions already. God said, this is what I want you to do. And somewhere in there, a lot of times, God gives us instructions, and then we kind of stay there because it doesn't kind of go with what I had in mind. So we stand there and just like wait, okay, for God to just kind of keep doing something. He already told you what to do. Right? I need you to go to the hospital, and I need you to pray for John that's not feeling well. What's complicated about that part? He gave me instructions, what I need to do, where I got to go. But somewhere in there, I'll stop and sit down on the couch and turn on the TV and go like, you know, did he mean I have to go now? You know, I can go later. You know what? I mean, pray for what? And then we start questioning or debating on what he said to do. He already told me what to do. God gives us instructions, and we just need to be obedient and do what God says. If God said to do it, then you got no worries. It's when Ray says to do something that you might want to kind of question a little bit. Because I'm not perfect. God is perfect. Okay? Though my intentions might be good, I'm not perfect. And I'm going to ask you to do something that might not get you in trouble, but you might have to do a little physical work. But anyways, it says here, he told the Israelites to move on. Okay? Why are you crying to me? I gave you instructions. Here's what you need to do. You need to move on. Keep going. Don't stop there. Right? Ray, go to the hospital. I told you what you need to do. Get there. And God says, raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide the water. so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry land. Dry land. Anybody see the movie by any chance? Either one of them. Does it really matter? Exodus or, you know, what, some of the movies when they do this, you know, they, and I can tell you right now that I found something here. And I grabbed this note. This is a professor, science. This guy's about science, facts. That's all he's about. Professor John Davis has forcefully shown that a natural wind could never satisfy the language demands of Exodus context. He cites four reasons why this situation must be viewed as a miracle. This is a scientist. It is doubtful that a purely natural wind could produce a wall of water. Okay, he's saying, okay, this guy's on our side. He's a scientist, but he's on our side. He says, if a strictly natural wind blew from the east, the water must likely have been walled up in the north-south direction, which would have prevented the Israelites crossing. Part three, two walls of water rose up, which suggests that the waters were divided by a special wind. If a natural wind came from the east and continued its force, sustaining the north and south walls of water, which later returned and drowned the Egyptian army, how could the Israelites possibly have crossed the area in the fierce of such a wind? In other words, what he's saying is, like, they're saying that a strong wind could produce this. Okay? I mean, I'm saying that a strong wind was possibly produced this. You know, just a regular wind. And I read up on some of this, and there's another story that says, well, the wind blew the water on one side, and it dried up, and they walked through. And clearly, the scientist says, no, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that it was divided in two. Another story on there, well, here it says, moreover, Sirhan has noticed that a strong wind currently blows from north to south in the northern vicinity of the Gulf of Suez, where the Israelites are commonly believed to have crossed the sea. About 9 months out of the year, thus the east wind parting the sea would be quite unusual, truly an act of God. This is a scientist. I read on there that a group of people also said that at that time of year or where they crossed, it was a marsh. It was something low, that the water wasn't that deep. Then if you were to believe what they're saying, so a whole army drowned in 3 feet of water, and I think Pastor Don brought that up. So that's what they'd rather believe that somehow a whole army, horses and chariots and everything, drowned in 3 feet of water. This is what they try to say. And it makes no sense, absolutely no sense. God's word is always true. It says, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them. And I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army. Through his chariots and his horsemen, the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. I got some few key points. It says the greatest army, and I kind of referenced to how it applies to us nowadays. So I put on there, the greatest army, challenge, spiritual battle, temptation, is coming after them or coming after you. And on the other side is the sea. It says they are at their weakest point. They feel they have nowhere to go, and they are desperate. They feel hopeless and trapped. It seems impossible. And I put on it with a little arrow is, isn't this the way that we feel sometimes? You know, sometimes we feel that way. And a lot of times, people just don't know how to get out of it. And they struggle and they struggle. And a lot of times they give up. They just give up. They said, you know, God isn't there. God left me. He abandoned me. You know, in my time of need, he left me. And a lot of people just give up. And sadly, sometimes people take their own lives. It happens every single day. Every day, somebody out there just gives up and takes their life. You know, and it's sad. It says they feel hopeless and trapped. And we talked about that. You know, when I was growing up, I had left the church, right? And I felt that way. I was trapped. You know, and the more I thought about it, the more trapped I got, because the enemy just kept putting in my mind that just, you know, that you're done. And a lot of times he'll do that. You're done. There's no way out of this. You can't get out of the situation. You turned your back on God, so now God is going to turn his back on you. And that is a lie of the enemy. God never turns his back on you. And it says it all seems impossible. At one point, I thought that too. It's impossible that God can forgive me, that he can love me the way a lot of people say he does. It's impossible for that to happen. Now, if you start looking back on your stories or your lives, how many times did you say that to yourself? It's impossible. There's just no way out of this. You know, rather it be a situation of a job, a family member, an illness, right? Anything. You start looking back a lot of times in our walk, okay, when you can say, you know what, I remember a time when I thought it was impossible. You know, I like reading a lot of, looking at YouTube at some of these messages and motivational speakers and stuff like that. And there's one on there. This guy is talking about that he was, you know, a young kid. He's growing up, and him and his brother were always fighting. They're always fighting. And fighting and fighting and fighting. So the mother one time came in and said, that's it. You guys want to fight? Let's fight. So the mom put gloves on both of them. Said, okay, you're going to duke it out. All right? So the older brother put on his gloves, right? And these are old gloves that the front is all padded, but by the hand, there's no padding by the palm. So he says that him and his brother were going at it, and he was tearing his brother up. He was beating him up. I mean, he knew how to fight pretty good. He was beating his brother up. So, but at one point, his brother turned around, right, and turned his arm. When he turned his arm, he came and clocked him right in the jaw. He says his face turned and his body followed, and he dropped. And he gets up, and he starts yelling at his little brother. You know, we were only supposed to hit from the neck down. You cheated, and he's screaming and hollering to his brother, right? And then it dawned on him about what he was teaching. And it was the greatest hit is the one, or the toughest hit is the one that you don't see coming. That was the hardest one. The one you don't see coming. Because the enemy a lot of times isn't going to go ahead and just call you, hey, guess what? At 2 o'clock, I'm about to attack you. He doesn't give you a warning. He doesn't give you a call. He doesn't send a text. Right? There's no texting or Facebook. Or what's the other one? Twitter. And what's the other ones? Instagram. All those. Right? The enemy doesn't sit there and start, you know, sending all that data to you that, you know, in 2 hours he's about to do something to you or attack you in one way or another. He doesn't do that. Right? That's why the Bible says always be prepared. Amen? Then the angel of God, as I put on there, God knows he always has everything under control. Then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army. And I put that in bold letters because, again, the whole time he was there. He never left them. The whole time, it says, then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army. So God was there, the angel of God was there traveling with them. A lot of times we think that we're going to, you know, we're doing something and God kind of just like stepped to the side, right? And just to try and watch us fall, all right? God doesn't do that. He doesn't just stand there just, you know, talking to the young angels. Watch this. He's about to slam his face down. Oh, God loves us. But it says here, then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, like I said, he was always there. You know, in our walks, in our lives, God's always there. We're the ones that a lot of times kind of, turn our back to him, right? We've done it a lot of times. We kind of just want to do our own thing, and we turn our back on God. And then when things don't go right, we want to kind of blame him for it. It says, his armies withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from the front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to one side and light to the other side. So neither went near the other all night long. God is our protector. He's always going to protect you. It's sometimes, and I think Bob did a teaching about that, a lot of times we ourselves are the ones that kind of step out of that. So we step away from God's protection. God never stopped protecting you. It's that we sometimes ourselves will step away from that protection, and now we're on our own. Now we're out of that protection. It's like Animal Kingdom and some of those shows, you'll see where the baby will stay next to the mom. And as long as the baby's next to the mom, all right, it's safe. As long as it stays close, it's safe. It's when it wanders on its own, now it's the mom isn't there to protect it no more. Now it went on its own. Now you have all these animals, hyenas or whatever it is, lions after this little baby. Why? Because it stepped away from the protection. And a lot of times we do that. We step away from God's protection. And as soon as things start going wrong or we get attacked, now we start screaming and hollering like they started doing. As soon as they got there, and we read on last week, as soon as they got there and they saw and they looked up and they saw Pharaoh's army coming at them, they turn around and start screaming and hollering. Why did you do this to us? Why did you bring me out here? To die? I was better off where I was. Ain't that something? That they'd rather be in captivity than to be free? Because they just stop relying on God. I think Roger told me a story the other day. We were playing golf. Well, I was trying to play golf. And Roger told a story about this elephant, and I think maybe some of you have heard it. This elephant that was in captivity for many years. They had a chain around it. And for many years, and then the organization came up and decided to purchase the elephant and set it free, right? And they took the chains off the elephant to set it free. And the elephant took about 4 or 5 steps and stopped and picked up his leg. There was no chains. He was just used to that for so many years that he just didn't want to walk forward. He picked up his leg and he just stopped. He wouldn't move forward. He stayed right there. He had no more chains. He was set free. But the enemy, a lot of times, keeps telling us, keeps throwing all these bad histories at us, past lives at us, or anything that we did in the past keeps throwing it up to us again, and we stop. Right? Just like the elephant, and we just kind of like, we don't want to move forward. It's like we keep thinking of all the things that happened behind us. You know, and God set us free. You know, and it's move forward. So finally it took a while and they just kept coaxing the elephant out. And finally the elephant kind of just, you know, took another step and took another step and took another step. Right? And then once he finally realized that he was free, he took off. It says that Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And all the night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. Now, I kind of underline that because, again, a lot of times, you know, Hollywood, when they do something, they don't read the scriptures right. It says that they walked on dry land. On some of the movies, you see puddles. Okay? There's no puddles. God's word says it was dry land. So if God says it was dry land, what was it? Dry land. There's no puddles, little things here and there. It was dry. Amen. I mean, think about it. It was over what? Over a million people crossing it?
Yeah.
Over a million people crossing it with buggies and horses and everything.
They say probably 4 to 6 million possibly.
Crossing it. So it was dry land. It wasn't, you know, like a little mushy or anything like that, right? Like Bob said, it has to be strong enough to sustain all these people crossing. I said, when God does something, he always does it right. He never makes a mistake. Nobody in here is a mistake. Every time God does something, he knows exactly what he's doing, how he wants to do it, when he wants to do it, and he does it right every single time. That's why he puts it up there. It was dry land. I thought about it. Why would he want us, you know, does it matter? Yes, it does. Because like Bob said, you know what? To try and cross all these animals and all this on ground that had been saturated for years and years and years and years, you couldn't cross over it. Right? Beth used to be, I don't know if anybody knows, Beth used to be a great Jeep mud driver. She was into that. Yeah, I mean, Beth was awesome. They got pictures with her helmet on, and she's on this big old Jeep, and she's going through the mud, and she, all right? So, I mean, think about it, though. So that's what the vehicle that has all this power and everything, and a lot of times it took a long time, or it was hard, difficult, to get to the other side. Can you imagine thousands of people, millions of people, and these buggies and these horses and their foots are getting stuck? This is why it says that. I mean, when we're reading God's word, you know, that's why I love. If anybody gets a chance to be here on Thursdays, I encourage you to get here on a Thursday to get to know God's word. Pastor Don and Bob, Pastor John, they do a great job on breaking it down, really breaking it down verse by verse and sometimes word by word, because every word in God's word is important. It means something. It says something. Verse 19, God always knew what he was doing. It was part of his plan. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And around it, it was never Moses that parted the sea. It was all God Almighty. Moses was a vessel that God used to do God's work. A lot of times, God will use us to do his work. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be something small. It could be something big. But I tell you what. Sometimes when we think it's something small, to somebody else, it might mean something different. It might mean something big. Remember when I was in high school in ROTC, our sergeant, ROTC sergeant, always said, the smallest things in life always mean the most. Okay, whatever. We had an annual inspection. We had all these big brass military guys and colonels and majors coming to inspect, you know, our ROTC. And we had all the formation and everything. They go by every single line. They go through the whole platoon, right? And they go through every single line checking everything. And they check your uniform, your boots, everything. They check every person up. And at the end, they give a report. And no school had ever won 100%. Never got 100%. We did, it was like 98 or 99. We didn't get that 100%, and it's been something like 50 years since anybody did perfect. And we didn't make it for one reason. On here, on one of the lapels, it's a little round brass little thing with a little torch in it. See, and that comes apart. You can take that apart and shine it real good. Right? Well, one of the guys didn't do that. So he had a little speck. Right, I mean, it's almost hard to see. But one of those colonels saw it. And we didn't get 100% score. Why? Something that simple prevented us from getting that score. So something that sometimes we think is simple, when God says, you know, here's what I want you to do, in our minds are like, well, it's meaningless. Really? You know, to help this guy out? To give him $2 for gas? To help him move? I mean, really, you know, it's no big deal. I mean, I'm sure somebody else could do that. But to that person, it might mean something else. Because maybe that person that day was praying, God, if somebody shows up to help me today, I'll serve you. That's his miracle. That's what he wants. That's his sign. You just never know. It says, why the east? Where does the sun rise from? The east. What does the sun do? It does a lot of things, but mainly it gives us light. Who is the light? Jesus Christ. John 8:12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So, you start reading God's word and you start putting things together and it all starts coming into place. You know, God knows exactly what he's doing. It says, then the man brought me to the gate facing east. And I saw the glory of the glory of the God of Israel coming from the east. His voice was like the roar of a rushing waters. And the land was radiant with his glory. That's in Ezekiel 43:2. And it's making reference again to light. Because remember, it was from the east. It said the wind came from the east. You know, it has to be something powerful, something strong. It has to be a miracle to divide the Red Sea. Only one person can do that. That's God. And when the Bible says it happened, believe me, it happened. You know, scientists and some of the other people out there were trying to disprove that. You know, well, one guy says, well, you know, there's no evidence. Yes, there is. They found evidence. They found chariot wheels and different objects that had no business being there, and it's there. Where did that come from? Where did it come from? And they looked at the age of some of that stuff. It's proven. Scientists will always try and say, well, it never happened. And guess what? You know who proved it? Scientists. They say, well, no, somebody, you know, probably somebody, you know, made one and then threw it in there just to make the story. Really, that's what they want to believe. Because they want to try and disprove God's word. And every single time they try to do that, guess what happens? God's word gets proven over and over and over again. The Egyptians pursued them, and all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. During the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and cloud. Now again, during the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down. God was watching. God was watching. God knew exactly what he was doing the whole time. From the time he told Moses, this is what I want you to do, to the whole thing was planned by God. We're the ones that sometimes start to question what he's doing, what his plan is. Like, we have a better one. Who here had a great plan for their life?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right? Some of us had our lives, I mean, this is what I'm going to do by the age. And some people still do that. They know exactly how everything's going to go from day one. By the time I'm 10, this is what I'm going to be doing. When I'm 15, this is where I'm going to be at. By the time I'm 25, this is where I'm going to be at financially. This is where I'm going to be at with my house. And by the time I'm 35, I'm married, 2 kids, have a $500,000 house, 2 cars and a boat. And they had that all planned out. Right? Anything wrong with that? Not really. Right? We should have goals in life. There's nothing wrong with that. Okay? But that's what their plan is. God's plan might be a little different sometimes. Maybe God's plan is for you to have all that. Right? Or sometimes God has other plans. Okay? And then when he tells us to go a different way, that's when we buckle and we're like, oh, wait a minute. No. What do you mean one of them has to be a station wagon? Really, Lord? Station wagon? Me? Never going to happen. All right, a minivan. All right? For those a little bit older, the station wagon with the door in the back, that kind of went down. All right? Yeah, I'm telling my age. What's that? Well, that's what I'm talking about, yeah. Yeah. Remember that? We were in the back seat waving at all the cars behind us.
Sitting on the gas tank.
Yes.
They were pink back then.
I mean, you know, that tells my age, right? I remember those days, right? We were in the back of a station wagon waving, right? And this is so cool. We're sitting back in the death trap, right? And we had no idea that was happening, right? But that was those days. And in the way, you know, they did things different than they do now. Nowadays, you can't do that. And remember riding in the back of the pickup?
Oh, yeah.
That was so cool. Yeah. And Aunt or Uncle would have a pickup, and it's like nobody wanted to sit in the front. It could be empty. The seat in the front can be empty. What do? We jump in the back. Oh, this is so cool. I'm going to jump in the back of this pickup with no seatbelt and go 60 miles an hour, right? I got the coolest uncle in the world, right? And we were so happy because we were back on the pickup. We had no seatbelt, right?
Nothing to hold on to,
right? Why I went there, I don't know, but that's some great memories. But anyways, but go back to this. But the whole time, God was watching, right?
Yep.
The whole time. God is always watching everything that we're doing. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and horsemen. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And at daybreak, right? At daybreak, God could have done it at night. But God knows exactly what he's doing. So at daybreak, it says Moses shot his hands in over the sea, and at daybreak the sea went back to its place. The Egyptians were fleeing toward it, and the Lord swept them into the sea. The water flowed back and covered their chariots and horsemen. See again the scripture, the water flowed back and covered, the word covered, the chariots and the horsemen. It covered them. Scientists again will believe that it was a little marsh and the water wasn't that deep. And another one, it was a tsunami, and that's what happened. Yeah, there was an earthquake and it caused a tsunami, and you know, that's what happened. Anybody seen or have ever seen on the news or anywhere else where a tsunami will cause water to divide? The sea goes back altogether and comes right back in altogether. A tsunami will not cause, and I'm not an archaeologist, scientist, or anything, but I've never seen where, you know, that will happen. A tsunami will cause water to split in half. But yet some scientists want you to believe that it was a tsunami that caused it. And that the water was just a little bit. It wasn't that high. What does God's word say? It says it covered. And these chariots were tall. And then there's guys standing on top of these things. And the wheels of those things are huge. And it said it covered every single one of them. The entire army of Pharaoh that followed them, that followed the Israelites into the sea, not one of them survived. Says the entire army of Pharaoh that followed the Israelites. Not one survived. Let me tell you something. When we put something in God's hands, rather be an enemy or whatever it is, when God's going to do something, he does it right. If God wants to take care of your enemies, he'll take care of them his way. And when he does it right. He does it well, they won't bother you again. We just need to trust in God and put everything in his hands. And I'll end it with this. Yes, Bob, I'll end it with this. It says Proverbs 3:5-6. says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And lean not on your understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Now, isn't that exactly what happened in this story? It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Did they do that? Nah. As soon as they got difficult, they started panicking. They didn't trust him with all of their heart. Yeah, we're going to go through rough times. The Bible says we're going to go through rough times. But in all the rough circumstances, we need to trust in God has control of everything that's going on in our lives. We need to trust that he will do what he wants to do. We need to do, like I said, we need to just stand still. Don't do anything. Don't try and step over God. Don't try and do what God is supposed to do. Amen? We need to trust that God has everything under control. God, I can't do this because I know I'm going to fail. But you know what? I'm going to give this all to you. My marriage, I'm going to give it to you. My finances, I'm going to give it to you. My job, I'm going to give it to you. My business, I'm going to give it to you. My friends, my enemies, I'm going to give it all to you. Because I can't do it. I'm going to give it all to you. You take over it. Because he will do it right. And he knows how he's going to do it, when he's going to do it, and where he's going to do it. And then he'll do what? And in all your ways, submit to him. We need to submit everything to him. And he will make your path straight. Says, it doesn't say he might. If he gets a chance. After a break. Like we do sometimes. God, I'll do this. Let me just take this 15-minute nap. God, yeah, I promise you I'll go visit John at the hospital. You know, but. Amen. Amen. That's all I have. I mean, God bless. Don't forget, we have prayer this morning. Amen. Let's go down and get started with God's word. Amen.